I'm Sean Crawford, and this is Illinois Edition. Now joining us, Rachel Odwell. Rachel attended a rally, a Black Lives Matter rally that took place at the Illinois State Capitol building over the weekend. And Rachel, tell us a bit about what took place there.
Yeah, so this rally was put together. I think they started organizing it midweek in response to the shooting deaths of Alton Sterling and then Philando Castile. It was meant to draw attention to those, and it was kind of a local reaction. And so there were just some speakers. I think there were probably about 100 people who showed up in all. They held signs, and a few different people spoke out. That was the basics.
Now, some Springfield residents are hoping to get more involved in this cause.
Right. So Sunshine Clemens was the organizer, and she's a legislative aide at the Capitol. And she had set up, you know, making sure that it was okay to be on the premises for this. And as she mentioned, she's looking to start a Black Lives Matter chapter in Springfield to make it more official. So here she is talking about that.
I was put in contact with the Champaign chapter of Black Lives Matter, which is the closest one to Springfield, and they are going to be providing me with information on how to start a chapter here. I think the great turnout that we had today shows that the chapter here could do some good, because I've already had several people who have offered their support and told me several times they want to be involved, they want to know what's going on, you know, they want to participate. I had a gentleman come up to me who didn't know about the rally. He drove down the street, happened to see it, and he pulled over and came over and offered his services. So I think we've got, you know, a lot of support, and I think we could, you know, really do some good.
Were you surprised at all by the turnout today?
I was overwhelmed by the turnout today. I was overwhelmed by the turnout, by the support that people have offered. I met people for the first time today and yesterday online through social media that I've never even heard of before, who have offered services in ways that I did not imagine possible. I couldn't fathom this when I got started. I was worried about people not showing up, honestly, because people love to talk online about, you know, what needs to be done and what they're going to do. But then when you actually ask them to do something, it's too hot. It's too early, they are too tired, or, you know, whatever. So, you know, I'm appreciative of the people who came out with, you know, the promise of just getting some information. They came out on their own and supported.
What's the significance of the location? Obviously, this is radio, so people can't see where we're standing, but we are on the Capitol lawn, and people spoke right in front of a statue of Abraham Lincoln. Why did you think this would be the right venue?
This is the building that I work. This is my second home. I know that a lot of change starts in this building. I thought it would be a good place. It's a central location. Everybody knows where it is. There's not going to be an issue of, you know, well, where's the Capitol? Where's the Lincoln statue? Nobody around here does not know where this is. That's not going to be an excuse that you can't find it or you can't get here. Buses come by here. You can drive by the street and see people. As the gentleman who didn't even know about the rally, because it's such a central open location, we had people who just drove by and saw it and then stopped. If we had it, you know, in an alcove somewhere, that would not have happened. So because of the changes that I am able to witness here on a regular basis, I thought this would be a good venue to, you know, spark a new change.
The only thing that could have been construed as negative was the same big truck drove by twice, kind of squealing its wheels. What was your take on that, and were you worried that there would be more pushback? Because really, there wasn't a lot.
There was not. It was a very peaceful and supportive rally. The two trucks that kept going by with their large flags in the back of their truck, you know, revving their tires and squealing, they were eventually pulled over by the state police, I heard. So I was you know, glad that the state police did put an end to that. But if that's all the pushback that we had, I'm okay with that. I told the crowd I chose to look at their, you know, revving their engines as, you know, a sign that they were in support. That's how I'm gonna take it. So considering the event and, you know, some of the negativity that it receives, I think we had a great turnout and we really didn't encounter anything that put a damper on today.
When Black Lives Matter first got the most media attention, I think, which was after Mike Brown's death, even though it was started in reaction to Trayvon Martin's death, a lot of people acted like it was kind of going to be a flash in the pan. And so here we are in Springfield, going on 2 years of a heavy media presence. You're looking at starting a chapter. What about this movement in particular speaks to you?
This speaks to me because we constantly see images and, you know, stories of injustice on the African-American community. And, you know, we our movement says we matter as well as every other race. We're not, you know, saying that we are the only ones who matter or that we matter more than anybody else. But because we have a extremely legitimate and valid message that we're trying to push, I think that's why we get, you know, the support that we do. And of course, there's going to be people who don't support it and, you know, push back against it and, you know, want to say that, you know, it's a racist organization or things along those lines, but that's not the case. And it's important to me because I just as easily, you know, could be the next person who's, you know, a victim of a crime. I feel like it's more likely for it to happen to me than, you know, one of my, you know, white friends or, you know, an Asian friend or anything along those lines. So it's an issue that hits close to home because it's something that, you know, I face and I deal with.
So your daughter's here with you today.
She is.
Do you mind if I ask her a question? Would you want to talk? Get some young people on the radio. I don't get to do that often enough. Can you say and spell your name for me?
Aria Bender, A-R-I-A-B-N-D-E-R.
And how old are you?
15.
And what school do you go to?
Springfield.
So what grade will you be going into?
Sophomore year, 10th grade.
So did your mom have to drag you along today, or did you want to come?
No, she asked me if I wanted to come. I definitely did. I was very tired this morning, but I still chose to come. I really wanted to come out and support her. She's worked so hard to do this, to organize this in such a short amount of time. And she's really passionate about this. She really, like, wants to see change. She knows that she can't just say stuff online. She has to, like, get out there and get stuff done. So I'm really proud that she's done this. I want to come out and show my support.
And as a teenager, the Black Lives Matter movement, what have you thought about it over the last, you know, couple years that it's gotten more prevalent?
I'm happy that I've seen more, like, on social media, I'm happy that I've seen more people my age getting into this and having their own opinions about, like, what's going on in the world, and we're not just sitting by listening to what our parents have to say. We have our own opinions. It's a very strong, like, Black Lives Matter isn't just, like, the people who we've seen in the media. It matters to all, like, African-American people, even the young ones. So I'm happy that everyone sees how, like, important it is and that it matters to all of us.
Do you see yourself following in your mom's footsteps at all, getting involved if there's a local chapter, or are there even groups at your school who kind of...
There aren't any groups at my school currently. I hope that maybe one day we will get to that point where we talk about it in the schools. Recently, when we tried to bring it up in class, the teachers shut us down. It's not really something that likes to be discussed in a class setting, but if we do get a chapter started, I would definitely be at everyone.
So you don't have a lot of discussions about racism at all?
No, we don't really talk much about culture at all. Like, we don't really talk about, we spend about 2 weeks on slavery in, like, history class, and then that's it. We don't talk about it for the rest of the year.
Back on Illinois Edition. I'm Sean Crawford, and we've been talking with Rachel Otwell about a Black Lives Matter rally that took place in Springfield over the weekend, and Rachel did attend that. Rachel, what was the police presence like?
Well, it was interesting. There were no police officers in the immediate vicinity. Well, I should say on-duty police officers anyway. Of course, the Capitol always has some police or ring of security guards, and I did notice a big group of them when I was going back to my car. They were just standing right directly outside the Capitol, so they weren't close to the rally. There was, however, a sort of metal box set up across the street that had a camera going, and the organizer had said that from what she understood, the camera was trained on where the rally was taking place. So I don't know if some sort of remote viewing was going on or if that was just some sort of precaution, but it was interesting. I never attended anything like that where there was just a camera present but no actual police. I know when we tried to reach out to the local police chief here in Springfield, he had been gone and he's coming back this week, so I know our reporters are reaching out to him to talk to him. But as far as police there, like I said, it stayed tame, so it was fine that there were no police, but no on-duty police officers were right there.
So no conflict there, but were there any counter-protesters, maybe people saying the time should have been spent mourning the loss of those police officers in Dallas?
There was mention, of course, of that shooting and people expressing their sympathy. The only thing that happened was apparently a couple of trucks, you could hear a couple times, they would drive by and rev up their engines and kind of squeal their tires, and kind of disrupted what the speakers were saying. And apparently, according to the organizer, those people did get pulled over by police. So, but that was about the extent of any sort of counter to the rally. So I mentioned, of course, no on-duty police officers, but there was a retired federal law enforcement officer. He's also the chair of the Criminal Justice Committee for the local branch of the NAACP. He's been a police consultant. He's been a longtime resident, but he's also was a deputy chief of police in Savannah, Georgia, and a chief of police in Jackson, Mississippi. So he has a very in-depth past as far as law enforcement, and he was there to speak. He had been invited to speak. Right when we got to the rally, I talked to him. So here's Robert Moore.
I'm here to support these youngsters, and they need support, and as well as directions. And so I hope that we can help channel their energy into some very productive stuff.
And it sounds like, you know, you're coming from two perspectives that are big in the media right now, enforcement, law enforcement. You're a black man. Was this week a hard one to grapple with coming at, you know, both angles?
I posted on my website that it was very painful and sad. And exactly. And it's hard to take to see bad policing causing all this stuff. And that's how I classify it. When you have bad policing, these are the results that you get. And we're seeing the results, and everybody's suffering because of that. And so we have to stop bad policing. And those are some messages that I'll be advocating for.
Do you agree with the tactics overall that the Black Lives Matter movement has used?
Well, I'm not quite sure what the tactics are. And I'm trying to figure out what their mission is. And I'm still studying what they're doing. And but we have to get up close enough to, and I'm being invited by them, so they evidently respect me enough to include me. And so I'm hoping, like I say, that the energy that they're bringing youth, that's one strategy that I definitely agree with, that they're getting youth involved, and they have to get involved. So as far as the other tactics, I'm not sure what they are. In terms of, I don't see them in the violent thing. I don't see them doing, anytime you're not doing the violent stuff, First Amendment give you the right to do, to demonstrate, to march, do whatever you want to do.
What was your reaction to the tragic death of multiple police in Dallas? Did it feel like this was a step back for the overall fight against police brutality and other things that Black Lives Matter stands for?
I don't even see how we can even equate Black Lives Matter to what happened in Dallas. And I think it's foolish for us to try to even equate that. We see people across the nation still marching, and we can still give respect to the police, and that's what we do. We do give respect, because I've served 38 years, so I definitely condone Black Lives Matter, but we also, you know, this the disdain on what somebody is shooting police officers.
Sometimes out there, especially in social media world, it seems like you have to pick a side, or people are picking sides, police or Black Lives Matter. It's just very polarized right now. I think most people would agree on how do you resolve, you know, coming from both perspectives.
I think the first thing you have to look at is what was going on before Black Lives Matter even came aboard. They weren't even in the picture. And we were still having the same issues. So I think that we've just found a boogeyman to blame, and then the Black Lives Matter. But here's the thing is, we can support law enforcement and still condemn bad behavior. And that's what we're doing. And that's what I view that the Black Lives Matter is. They're condemning bad policing. And they can still support policing and still condemn bad stuff.
You have such a great inside perspective as far as the system of policing, in Illinois especially. Can there be big enough changes? Does the whole system need to be overhauled? How do you start to root out this systemic injustice?
There are two things that I advocate, that we have put this problem on the black community and the police, and it will never get solved. It's a bigger issue than the black community and the police. We have the judges, we have a criminal justice system that sentence people, that feel that they are overly sentenced, and all these things that different portions of the criminal justice system, the African-American community feel that they've been mistreated, but they want the police department to solve them all. Police department can't create jobs. They can't reduce your sentence. They can't do all those things. And so we've got to include the entire community. We've got to change our way of doing things.
So today is obviously people trying to take a step in the right direction, right? And a lot of the protests, you know, even in Dallas, people were posting pictures of police officers out in the crowd. Looked like they were getting to know the ralliers, had their arms around each other, that sort of thing. And it seems like, if anything, this can be an opportunity for people to come together who might seem to be on different sides, but who, when they get to know each other face to face, at least it humanizes each other.
I think that's a superficial approach. You've got to sit down at the table like we do here in Springfield. My Noble group, we meet with the chief of police and his executive staff on a quarterly basis. We go into that staff meeting and we talk about the issues of which we did. And the chief is moving forward, training his officers in racial taboo here. And so we're doing things here in Springfield that we feel that can become a model nationwide. But the superficial, just marching, you don't know that person that you're marching against. You don't even know his name. And so it's a good image, but we've got to get past the superficial stuff of it.
That was Robert Moore. He's a former police chief and a longtime veteran of law enforcement in the country. He's talking with our Rachel Otwell at a rally that took place over the weekend at the state capitol building, a Black Lives Matter rally. Rachel, what were the demographics of the crowd? Give us some idea of who the speakers were.
The crowd really ran the gamut. There were young children there. There were obviously some older people there. It was varied. It certainly wasn't an all-black crowd or anything like that. And as far as the speakers, there was someone there who was with the Faith Coalition for the Common Good, which is a local community group in Springfield that does various things, like they help run an alternative high school program for dropout students, just as an example. So their vice president spoke. There was someone representing the Illinois Green Party spoke. Of course, Robert Moore, who you heard from. And then there were also some younger people, too, coming from that perspective, younger students.
So what are some of the future plans? You mentioned earlier there's an effort maybe to create a Springfield chapter. What are some of the future plans that they have?
Well, there was talk of trying to set up a meeting with the local sheriff or the local police department in some way. There were two brothers in particular, one who's 18 years old, one who's 20, and I spoke with them after the rally to get a better idea. They had also organized or been part of a peaceful protest, is I think what they called it. They were part of that on Friday night, so I had a conversation with those two, and you can hear that now.
My name is Jalen Netters. Everybody call me Jay. I'm a Southeast graduate 2014.
I'm Gary Freeman, and I'm from Southeast High School, graduated class of 2016.
You guys helped organize a similar event last night, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Can one of you explain it?
It started up after the Alton Sterling video we watched. You know what I'm saying? We both was really hurt about the video, and so we voiced ourselves on Facebook, and we said we wanted to do a march and stuff. We didn't understand how big it was until Friday. Like, it was so crazy, because the whole thing is, the main topic was about the police on black crime, but it's also about the black on black crime, because we have violence in our own communities among ourselves, and we wanted to bring attention to that and see if we could stop that too. So on Friday, we went to the church, to the Pleasant Grove Church, and we got to meet the mayor. We was asked to join the NAACP. We got the Black Panther Party came up there. We got so much support. Everybody just loved what we was doing. Before we left the park, all the people that was following us wasn't following us before, so it was like more people was at it, and I was like, oh, this is amazing, man. Like, I can't even believe we doing this, because I'm only 20, he's only 18. We're trying to get something together with the police department and the community, and we really need everyone to come. Like, when I get the date and everything, I need everyone to come, because everybody has a problem with the police department, but nobody's going down there and voicing their problems, our opinions. So go down. So we need them to come and talk, and we both gonna listen to each other. We gonna listen and respect what the officers gotta say, and they gonna listen and respect what we got to say. Nobody gonna cut nobody off. We hope to bring a solution to the problem.
And Gary, for you being a recent high school graduate, you know, what does Black Lives Matter mean when it comes to your life?
Like, I've been had a voice on Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, because honestly, my history teacher, Mr. Volpa, really pushed me out of my comfort zone. And also my brother Jay really pushed me, because I'm a soft-spoken person. So for me to honestly get my voice out there, especially a young person that everybody knows and just graduated, it's really an honor. Like, I really care about all Black Lives Matter because I'm a young black male, and I don't want anything to happen in Springfield or anybody else in general in this world, because this is so messed up right now.
And as a young black male living in Springfield, have you ever had any issues with police, any, you know, real life instances here that you're drawing from?
No, I haven't had a problem with the police ever. I really love the police here. Like, I got pulled over about like 3 weeks ago, and I seen two squad cars, and I already know how police are out of this town, so I automatically put my hands up because I know how it is. But honestly, they were just checking on me, make sure I'm like doing good in life. So I was like, wow, the police really care about us, but people don't really know that because we don't respect them, so they're not going to respect us. So we really need to bring this together.
So you had mentioned while you were addressing the crowd that your brother died?
Yeah, my brother Jawan Kincaid, he died last July on the 30th. And man, like, we don't really know too many details of what happened and stuff, because it's just a messed up situation. And the whole city was just heartbroken. And you would think, you know what I'm saying, everybody came together for his candlelight and everything. Like, we was all together. And, like, it didn't stick for long. I thought, you know what I'm saying, we could just have peace for the rest of the summer, peace this summer, because, man, he didn't deserve to die. He had a son on the way. His son is here now. He never got to meet his son. His son never got to meet his father. And it's just so sad, because I'm coming and speaking as a father that has a son. And I know it would just break my heart to know that I'm going to die, and I'm not going to be able to meet my son. It's heartbreaking.
It sounds like that's part of why you're here and trying to move in a positive forward direction. What do you hope for next? What's the ideal here?
Me and him trying to keep it going. In order to keep this movement going, we got to put some spirit in it. So that's all we really trying to do. We just want to keep putting our hearts into this and show people how much this means to us. And what we really want to do is bring more black people out here, because they're not coming. Like, everyone complains on the internet, but nobody comes.
Well, and you're young, and Gary, you're young. Do you think part of that is just the younger generation thinking that activism is as simple as, you know, posting something on Facebook?
Honestly, with our generation right now, they're scared. Like, they're going to be like, oh, you lame, stuff like that. But it's not lame. You honestly taking a stand. You see, it's like God put us here for a reason. Me and Jay, he put us here for a reason. He obviously want us to be the voice of our generation. Because honestly, we didn't have the attention of the NAACP and the Black Panthers before. But now that we're doing this, they want us to join in what they're doing, because they see that us young black males are very interested in all lives matter, Black Lives Matter. So they really want us to join them.
And you keep saying all lives matter as kind of a caveat.
I want to throw that in there so they just won't think like, just because we're black males, we want to focus on one race. No, we want to focus on all race, because every lives matter, no matter who you are. Yeah, we want to focus on Black Lives Matter because that's the topic of right now, but we really want to focus on all lives matter. So we need to bring everybody out, put us together, and we can unite as one.
So that was Jalen Netters and Gary Freeman. They're brothers, and they're working to do some more organization as far as the Black Lives Matter mission here in the Springfield area.
Now, there was also a Black Lives Matter-related event in Champaign-Urbana. Can you tell us some more about that?
Yeah, when it comes to Central Illinois, the only established chapter of Black Lives Matter is in Champaign. One thing that can get confusing when you talk about the Black Lives Matter movement is a lot of the time people who might have a sign that says Black Lives Matter aren't exactly part of the organization. And sometimes I saw, you know, Black Lives Matter Chicago came out with a statement over the weekend just saying that the media needs to be more clear on the distinction. So just to make that clear, the established chapter is in Champaign. And this was an event combining kind of hip hop and protest, which the person I talked to made it clear that he didn't necessarily organize it entirely himself or anything, but he was definitely part of that. And so this is Kadeem Fuller. He works on community engagement for the Black Lives Matter chapter in Champaign-Urbana.
So Friday, there was a rally, a positive vibes only rally. It was put on by a few different people. I was not involved in the initial planning, but a lot of activists and a hip hop group called Mother Nature. They took the rain on it. It was pretty great, actually. A lot of people came by. It was just positive vibes. So we had music playing. It was hot, so we had water. People holding signs, pretty much doing what people, you know, felt comfortable with. People were spitting spoken word. So it was just a really, you know, self-care time. We walked around downtown. We marched downtown a couple of blocks, and it kind of disturbed people, agitated people. So that's what we were there for, to give positive vibes for the people that are suffering, so Black people, and also just to go across Urbana-Champaign, the downtown area, let them know that we're still here. We're still, you know, plan on, you know, protesting and agitating the system.
And so, again, that was Kadeem Fuller. He's with Black Lives Matter, the chapter in Champaign-Urbana, talking about an event that took place there over the weekend commemorating the lives of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling.
And that was Rachel Otwell. Rachel attended the rally that took place here in Springfield over the weekend, and she joined us to give us a little background about what took place there. And this is Illinois Edition.